As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshay. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshay2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshay. There is never a perfect time to step out on faith. It would always require risking the safety of where you are at that very moment. But one will never be completely happy when their dreams are not being reached. The higher the dreams, the greater the risk. When the right opportunity makes itself available, you have to close your ears to the naysayers and move forward beyond your dreams. Visit wealthdaddysystem.com. That's www.wealthdaddysystem.com. Wealthdaddysystem.com. Push yourself beyond your fears, and you'll reach your dreams.
Hey, everyone. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, coming to you from Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, today I want to talk to you about something. I put out some misinformation, and I want to correct the information that I put out. The young lady who talked her boyfriend into killing himself or assisted him in convincing him to kill himself, she was given 15 months, not 15 years. And the prosecutor asked for 20 years. But she's going to spend some time on probation. But today I want to talk about the unfairness of the justice system. You know, the justice system is supposed to be blind, and it's supposed to treat everybody the same. But the truth is that judges are doing different things in different counties, different cities, different states, and different world, and across the country. And a lot of times it seems like our white counterparts are getting away with probation, a little jail time, but doing some serious crimes. And when, on the other hand, African Americans are always getting a book thrown at them. And so, you know, we need to talk about how is it that, you know, something as important as jail time can be given out with such cautiousness when it comes to whites, but with such devastation when it comes to African Americans. You know, we need to discuss that. We need to find a way to legislate fairness in our justice system. You know that we've heard over several months over the past year where white boys have gotten months for raping people, being caught raping people when they're incapacitated, and given 5 or 6 months, and African Americans are given 10 years. And so it's obvious that we have an unfairness in our justice system, and there doesn't seem to be any willingness to fix it. You know, and I'm just saying, I know that at some point we are having young men who are African-American are having their lives destroyed for the same things that white young men are being able to recover from. And so as we look at the devastation that's taking place by police officers killing us in the street and putting us in jail for nothing, we also need to think about and care about the devastation that is happening daily in our court system. And I want to get to the point where, you know, I'm retired now, that I just collect a day out of every week to go to the court system and pay attention and look and see and understand the process that is happening to our young men as they're being locked up for years and years and years, stuff that other people are getting probation for. You know, and again, our system is supposed to be fair. Our system is supposed to be just, but it's obvious that it is not just or fair, because we are being put in jail at a much greater rate and being held for a much, much longer time. And we have to find out some way to curtail this or get the system to understand that it's unfair and recognize that, you know, we're losing precious lives locked up behind these bars. I think about all the time how, you know, you have people who are getting off for some amazing things. I know here in Tampa, a teacher said that she was too pretty. A white female teacher said she was too pretty to go to jail. Now, how in the world can you be too pretty? You know, her lawyer was saying it would be too devastating for her to be sent to jail for molesting black boys, and that she was given probation. Now, how often would you see an African-American woman who was fooling around with white boys get probation instead of jail time? And there seems to be too much sympathy for white Americans when the book is being thrown at African Americans. And so we need to talk about how do we get the blindfold on the Lady of Justice to come down and be fair to all of us instead of showing so much bias to other individuals. Tyrone, you know, it is interesting that we had a situation where we look at how these sentences are given out and how it seems that our counterparts, our white counterparts, are not being treated the same as people of color.
Right, absolutely. First of all, thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to be here on a Friday evening. I'm just really enjoying this show each and every day. It's unfortunate. You know, racism is still alive and well. We have a racist system, a racist society. I was just thinking about it as I was listening to you. I was thinking about my little stepbrother. Many years ago, he was involved with drugs, and my father went to court with him and a couple other people. I think I was out of town or whatever. I didn't know anything about it. But my father said that, my little stepfather's attorney said, we specialize in putting the N-word. We specialize in putting the N-word in jail here. I mean, he couldn't have said that when I was there. But my father told me that, and That's you know, I mean, that it's like that's a decision that they've made. That, you know, anytime we go before the court, go before the judge, we get the book thrown at us, and they continue to, you know, you just think about how these police officers have gotten off. It's like there's no way in the world you're looking at these people just killing folks for no reason whatsoever. And a police officer can say that he felt threatened, his life was at risk. I don't know what we're going to do. But I do know that if we get back to protesting, you look at many, many years ago, when people protest, things happen. laws are changed, and that's what's going to have to happen in this situation. Laws are going to have to be changed to you know, bring us some equality, because these judges, they basically just do what they want, and there's nobody to really tag them or confront them. And so I think we're just going to have to get back to protesting. Well, we got so many issues in this world.
There seems to be so many, you know, when they look at their children, they see potential and they see wasted lives if they give them any time. You know, but when they look at us, like the term you use, throw the book at us, they could care less. They don't see or feel any heartfelt problem with locking our children away. And it's just devastating to me that, you know, these people don't understand the depth that we love and care for the people we care about. You know, our uncles,
right,
our aunts, and, you know,
yeah,
we love our children and our family just as much as they love theirs. And if they can be sympathetic to what they're doing, you know, if somebody can get up to 20 years and you only get them 15 months, you know, that is a sizable difference. And you certainly, there's no ending to that person's life when you only give them 15 months. That's just a year. And so certainly she can recover in a year.
Yeah, they're not going to, it's a white young lady.
Yeah, white
who,
female.
Okay. And she's not going to serve 15
blue
months.
Blue eyes, probably.
Yeah, she's not going to even serve 15 months. She'll probably serve about 4 or 5 months, and they'll get out of there.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, you have situations where we're being killed in the streets, and we're being put in jail for such long period of time that it is just killing our spirit and killing our ability to recover. And it is just senseless. And they cannot see. You know, when you got these young boys being called for rape that are white, and they're given a few months in jail, when a black young man is given 10 years. You know, when you give a man 10 years in jail, that can be devastating to his life. Do you know how much changes in 10 years that he has to try to catch up to?
And he can't. He can't catch up. It's no, you know, I mean, once you've missed that, you can't go back and recapture it, those years. And the world changes. I mean, you know, things have changed so much in a 10-year decade. You can't recapture that. And you know, it's just inhumane, and it's just racism. It's people just. I don't know. I often wonder why. What have we done as African Americans? What have we done for those people that hate us like that? I mean, are they just devils? Are they just evil? What have we done? They came over to our continent. They came over to our countries in the continent of Africa and took us and made us slaves. And they have been treating us like dogs and continue to do things one after another and get away with it. Or we put up a protest for a couple of weeks, and then after that, it's over with.
Well, you see where the president is having the attorney general, whether or not they're discriminating against white people on the college level because of them trying to encourage more African Americans. And see, that's what I'm saying. See, the focus now is what are you doing to us? How are you impacting us? What are your thoughts about how it seems like the sentencing of white people, you know, is always with such care and dignity when they're willing to throw the books and throw away the key at African Americans or people of color?
Well, good evening again, everybody. And James, thanks for your show, buddy. I really appreciate you. I think Mr. Tyrone said it when he said that some laws have to be changed, especially when it comes down to the judges sitting on the bench. I don't know what type of tenure that they have on the benches, but it appears to be that it's too long. The mindset that certain judges may have, they have the ability to push their belief system agenda and those people that support them in that area. Say, for instance, you know, a judge can be bought off with favors to lighten the sentence when it comes down to a person of the Caucasian race. But when it comes down to making a judgment on a person of color, those type of favors and luxuries are even considered. Secondly, I got to say this, and we got to remember this right here. Their concept of a black life does not equate to that of a white life.
Wow.
And you can rest assured that a white life to them is worth 12 black lives, one white life. And so, and behind closed doors, they got to be teaching somebody that. That belief has to be regenerated through generations. But you know, this is a tough subject for me and for us as a older generation. And I'm like Mr. Tyrone. Short of changing the laws, we are in some turbulent times at best. I've said, and my strategy behind it all is not very comforting, but I think this whole world, and especially this country, needs an enema. It really does, because I have said that once if we are lucky enough to go through a missile crisis, to which to the extent that South Korea or North Korea is able to launch off a missile. And say for instance, if they coming close to launching a missile and hitting a town in Seattle or something like that, hitting somebody on the West Coast, if we are lucky enough and blessed enough to dodge that bullet, just like the Bay of Pigs situation, if we are blessed enough to dodge that situation, that scenario, would they change? Would they start treating us any better? And my prediction is they would not. They're so embedded in their hate, like Tyrone said. They're so embedded in their hate that it's going to take a real catastrophe of almost global proportion for us to have that kumbaya moment that we're looking for. So we can get start off with at a clean slate, and that's the only thing that's going to get their attention. No, I'm serious. I don't see no other way. Thank you.
And the sad thing is that we are in a situation where, you know, you have all these people who suggest that they are believers. And it's hard for me to understand how you can be a believer and be unfair to people at the same time. You know, I go back to Trayvon Martin, and I want you all to listen to this scenario and understand what I'm trying to say. A black man could not have spotted a white boy, stopped his truck, and followed that white boy into a secluded area, shot that white boy, and not gone to jail that very night. Okay? Let's just talk about how many different things happened to Zimmerman that would not have happened to a black man. He would have went to jail that very night. They would have searched for the parents of that white boy until they found him, no matter what time of morning it was. Some people don't realize that Trayvon Martin was not identified or his parents were not contacted from almost 48 hours. So they did not find, even though he was less than 100 yards or maybe a few hundred yards from his destination, his parents were not found for almost 48 hours. So he was dead for almost 48 hours before his father was made aware of it. Zimmerman didn't spend any time in jail until an uproar came, and then was consequently let out on bail. And so I'm telling you that nowhere in America can a white or black man shoot and kill a unarmed white boy for no reason, okay? And we could have stated that he was beating us up and we thought we were near dead all we wanted to, but we would have went to jail that night. And see, so that's what the situation is. Many times we don't find ourselves in those situations because we don't try to get in those situations. But if we do get in some of the similar situations as white people, we're not going to be treated the same, and that's guaranteed. And so that's where you have to ask yourself, where is the blindness in the system when it comes to people of color? Andre, you know, we're just talking about the justice system is supposed to be blind, but in fact, it looks from under that blindfold and sees what the color is of the person that it's dealing with.
Yeah, fantastic Friday. I have something I would like to say, but I'm in a situation that I can't talk right now. Can I come back in probably about 10 minutes?
Okay. Joyce, what is your thought about that? How similar situations come out with different results when it comes to people of color?
Always that way. Justice, our court system is not set up for the average black person, male or female, believe me. Now, what we don't have is enough people in the legal that wears the robes, that has the handle that you hit on the desk, judges. We need that so desperately. We need to fulfill these areas so we can get a fair shake. Because when you sit up there and you wait on a white man to make that decision, they're not going to care. And I'm going to tell you another thing. They're not going to go against their friends. The people who represent you are they neighbors. They meet at the dinner table and talk about you like a dog. That's who we got. But we'll pay. We can go through your system all day long because we believe in the justice system. And then in the end, you're not going to get the justice that you deserve. So it's just justice is what they call it is totally blind, but it's blind in the wrong sense when it comes to the black. It's ridiculous. So I hate it's sickening. You know, it's just sickening. A black man can get caught with a half an inch of a half an ounce of marijuana, and you get 15 to 20 years in prison. It's ridiculous. And now a white boy can go shoot a person, and I mean, like you say, 48 hours, and the parents weren't even notified because they don't value you. They don't think you are of a value. And it's not so much the white man, it's the black woman too, and it's disrespectful. It doesn't make any sense, but I don't know what can be done, but it's hurtful. It's really, you really tag. And the thing is, you can't hide from it because you stand out. It's who you are.
And you're so right. It just seems disgusting when we can get stopped and treated like criminals for minor situations and still be dogged out. You know, it just shows you that we can have a traffic stop and disagree with the police officer related to the traffic stop and end up locked up. You know, but yet white privilege allows them to argue back without any repercussion. Kathy, you know, how is it that, you know, these people feel no sympathy whatsoever? Mind you, that they should be the ones to not be, they're the professional ones and they should be the ones not escalating situations, but just allowing, even if you are frustrated, not to allow your frustration to create a bigger problem than the one that they started out with.
Good afternoon, everyone. Well, I agree with everything that Joyce just said, that these people sit around the table and laugh and talk about us, but we as a people, we have to go out, we have to begin to educate ourselves and get into the judicial system ourselves. We got to start voting so that we can be a part of that number. So when these things do go down, we'll be able to have a say in what is supposed to be and what is not supposed to be. But because we're not in the circle, we're not at the table, we don't have a say so. And then when things happen in the world, you know, we slide back. We don't stand up and talk and voice our opinion. So then we're allowing them to make the decisions for us instead of standing up, you know, and saying what we believe is right, what we know to be truth, that we know that there is discrimination, that there are racial profiling out there. We're not doing that. We say, oh, it's not my problem, or I'm not going to get involved, or, oh, you know, well, maybe they deserved it. You know, so we make up all these different excuses and things to say when we should be the ones standing up for those that can't stand up for themselves.
And it's so true. Let me go to break. I don't want to, if I keep talking, I'll miss my break. But let me go to break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Hello. I'm the music major. This is my man, Jayon Gray. He got a question to ask. Talk to him, Jay.
Is there anybody in love?
Is there anybody in love? Is there anybody in love?
Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. The destination of one's life is not determined by where they are, but by where their heart is determined to go. It is important to look past the present and dream about your future. The value of your internal spirit remains the same throughout your life. Once you take your first breath, the measure of your future is unlimited. You only need to take one positive step after the other to get out of your present situation. Always know that there is a helping hand prepared to assist you along the way. Keep your head and your eyes facing forward to see the hearts of those ahead of you. The path they suggest will always be better than the issues that are behind you. The Creator that protects us all will never move from where you last left him. He is patiently waiting for your return. God invested in you from the outset, and now it is time for your value to rise. Don't doubt that which has been there from the beginning, your ability to turn your dreams into reality. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, the radio show where your voice needs to be heard. The show is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. Please visit my website, JamesTDeshaies2.com. That's JamesTDeshaies2.com. Also consider purchasing both my books, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. They can be purchased at my website or at lulu.com. That's lulu.com. I look forward to you being a part of my audience. Call in every day at 657-383-0309. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Cheryl, why is it that people don't understand that we love our relatives and love those people we care about just as much as they love the people in their lives, and that the police officers and justice system need to know that there is value in our breathing just like it's value in their children's breathing? Like, all of these officers have a wife and family that they don't want any harm to come to, but yet they feel no concern about throwing us in jail or leaving us bloody on the streets.
Good afternoon, everybody. And I do want to say that everybody who went before me made some very, very valuable points. Why? It's because they don't value us. And when they don't value us, it's hard for them to even imagine how we can value each other. And what we can do, I mean, you know, sometimes I feel like we've come a long way, but then other times it's like we have such a long way to go, you know. And I see it out here in the community where I live, because it is predominantly white, the area that I live in. And I say, you know, don't mistake us for their kind, because they really have an objective and they really don't see us as who we really are. And when it comes to, you know, putting people in office, the problem with that is when one of us get in office, we are so sidetracked with money, and we become a part of the problem as well. So to me, a lot of times our head, you know, we bump our heads up against the wall, because just when we think that we have somebody in office, and I can say, you know, especially coming from New Orleans, corrupt it was, and how the pockets of our people were lined to do things. I mean, it's hard out here. It's really, really hard. And, you know, I know my son went to school with a lot of, you know, white people. I think out of 300 and some people that graduate, only 14 were blacks. And, you know, they weren't treated the same. And they still won't be treated the same, you know, throughout their lives. And it's kind of hard for them to understand because, you know, they think that, well, we both, you know, we all going to school together. We all doing the same things, but they just really don't understand that it's so much different when they get out here in the world, how fair they really will be treated. And so that's my thoughts on it.
And like you say, even when we get a person in a high place that they can make a difference, they seem to choose to not favor or show favoritism because they want to make sure everybody knows that they're above board. And so obviously and so often, white people show favoritism and care less who sees it. And that is, it does you no good to strive to have people in areas where they can make decisions if they're going to make the same kind of decision that their white counterparts make.
Exactly.
And you know, it keeps happening over and over and over. So when you finally get someone like Maxine Waters, who goes to the nth degree and shows her contempt for some of the things going on, that you just bless them and keep them because you know that she at least she's one person you can go to who's not going to change who she is. RJ, are you prepared to speak now?
Yes, thank you for the time. And let me go back and share my thoughts as it relates to why we find ourselves in the situation we are in. And I think that our counterparts are threatened by us. And the reason I say that is because if we go back in history where Lynch had to come up with a strategy, if you would, of how to keep us in our place. And the reason I say that our counterparts are threatened by us because as difficult of a situation that you find us in, we as a people, we are survivors and we will accomplish. And when we came over, they enslaved us. And yet we still have this pride, this heritage. We are the ones built America and everything that's associated with a positive. Our history indicates that that's who we are. And the pride of the white man, of course, is the white woman. You know, anytime you do anything to a white woman, they'll stand for causes or whatever the case may be. And when our black men were found to be with the white women, now as long as they was white men was with black women, hey, they had no problem with it. But when it was the black men with their white woman, things gonna change. And again, they had to come up with a plan to keep us oppressed, and that's the reason why they would bring everybody together and conduct a hanging and make you know women be with their men and that kind of stuff because they're threatened by us being a people that's called for a purpose and part of a strong heritage. And what people
and
have said before, I agree with, we have to get into the system and vote. We have to make sure that our voices are heard. And we have to understand that you're exactly right. We can be in a class of 300 and something and only 14 blacks that graduate. But you can rest assured that their scoring and their grading was not the same. And yet, we survived.
And one of the things that we recognize or we see is that these we continue to be victimized in every area you can think about. When I'm looking over the different stories of how some people were valedictorians and should have been black men and black boys and girls who strived hard to be valedictorians and did had to share it with their white counterpart because they didn't want one person, one black person, to be the valedictorian. You know, you can go all the way back. No matter how much we strived and got victory, they would find a way to minimize our rewards or our accomplishments. Tyrone, you've seen that. No matter what it is that we do, they try to minimize our victories and our accomplishments by not giving us as much as we're owed.
Yes, yes. I'm thinking about the highest position in the land, President Obama. Look how they treated him, humiliated him, disrespected him. I mean, how is that possible? You could be living in America, living in the United States, and disrespect the president of the free world. I mean, he's the most powerful man in the world. How can a people, a hateful people, a racist person, how can you get away with that? To disrespect the most powerful man in the world, and he has been humiliated, degraded, and everything else, and under all this kind of scrutiny. I often think about what if Hillary would have won? You know, he still would have been able to pull strings, because there were a lot of laws that were being changed. The Attorney General, what his name was, he was making a lot of changes in laws, and a lot of laws were about, you know, blacks going to jail for drugs, judges being unfair, and so white folks had to get together along with the Russians and decide that we're not going to let Hillary win because it's going to be some more Obama. Mr. Obama, but we're gonna have to come together and change these laws and change these judges. I often think about you know, white folks. You know, sometimes they'll tell you that, well, I had nothing to do with slavery. Well, maybe you didn't have a lot to do with slavery, but you were enjoying the privileges, because you have white rights. You can go to the bank, get money. You can get in schools and places that we can't get. Just being white is supposed to be right. And so, you know, here's another thing. How is it, you know, some of us go to church with these white folks, or go to church with, we have white leaders, or white ministers, white this, white that. But all this police brutality, all the things that they're doing to us and have always done to us, how is it that we don't see white and white ministers and pastors standing up? We don't see them marching. We don't. They might march for gay rights, but they don't stand up for us. And you know, and that's really sad, because I promise you, if white leaders, whether it be church, politics, or whatever, if they begin to stand up for what's right, we would have a lot of changes. A lot of changes would occur. I think about a person like Paula White, who was a big time minister pastor or whatever. I think about some of the other white ministers and pastors. I can't, their name escaped me right now. But do you ever see them stand up for what's right? They know it's wrong. They see it every day, but they never stand up for that. Never stand up. And you know, let me say this to you, because I really believe this. I believe that the white man's time is up, and he knows it, because even when it comes to their family, they're only producing like one child per family, or maybe one and a half child when you look at statistics. And their time is up. Their time is up, and they can do whatever they want to do, but they can't stop us. And if it was a time they could ever stop us, they would have stopped us. But they can't stop us. We're headed to the top. It's our time. We're getting ready to take over. But we have a whole lot of work to do. Lots of work to do.
But in that though, we have to start flexing our muscles before that time comes. And you got to have leadership that is willing to put themselves on the line. And that's what I'm talking about. You, We have to have people who are willing to step out on faith and put themselves on the line and stand for what is right. And you're right. Both black and white ministers need to flex their muscles and guide their congregation in a way that helps them to reestablish that things have to be fair, that we're not going to accept people being railroaded and taken advantage of. And see, it is so clear to most of us as African Americans that we cannot do certain things. Like, we've talked about this before, like the NRA wants all Americans to have guns. But if I walk out of my house with a rifle thrown over my shoulder and I walk around the street, a policeman going to stop me and ask me, what are you doing? And very well,
that's right,
they take that rifle away from me. But if I'm
a white guy
walking down the street with that same gun, they may stop and talk to me, but they're not going to throw me in jail and try to figure out what I'm doing, because they're going to figure, well, he ain't doing nothing. He just got his rifle over his shoulder. But if I'm an African-American with my rifle over my shoulder, I'm getting ready to do something.
Those are the
inequalities of the system that we have to fight against and make sure that policemen understand you cannot mistreat people. That young lady named Bland, and I think it's Sandra Bland, who got stopped for a traffic violation, should not have ended up in jail dead. But what happened was, when a black female came on the scene, she didn't try to talk that white guy out of arresting that girl. She didn't try to calm the situation down. She went along with the program. So she was just as bad as him, because she was not willing to put herself on the line for what was right. Now she got to live with the fact that she participated in the death of a black person who should not have been dead because she didn't flip her signal on.
Can I say another thing,
Joyce,
James?
And those are
okay.
I'm gonna go to Joyce after you, Tyrone. Go ahead, make your final call.
Okay. Real quick. Why is it that we never hear about a Jewish kid killed? Or Asian kid killed? Why do we never hear about that? The police killed a Jewish kid and an Asian kid. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they know that you mess around here and kill a Jewish child, it's going to be an uproar. It's going to be some mess. Heads going to be chopped off. They know that. And so they can do that to us and get away with that. Go on. I want to make that point.
And I think they can get away with it because we're not willing enough to play team players amongst each other. We fight against each other a lot. We're not ready to stand up together as a group for the cause, and that's sad. Not all white ministers are bad, because a lot of these white ministers, they do put themselves out there, but they're not going to put themselves out there out front. They can do more harm and more damage on the back end. And it's not their job to be the one that fight for us. We need to be the forefront leaders and to stand up and go forward and make a stand. We definitely have to do that. But justice is not always good, and it's not always in our favor, and we know that. And you had mentioned earlier that if it was a white kid did this to a black kid, did this to a white boy, no, the black kid probably wouldn't even made it to jail. Who make it to jail nowadays when you being confronted with the law enforcement? Most people get killed. You don't even get a chance to make it to jail. You sure don't get a chance to make it in front of a judge and tell your plight or your side of the story. And automatically, when they look at a black person and they look at a person in a blue uniform, they're not going to believe you. Thank God for all these videos that they have. And that's why we got to teach our kids to dress how you dress. Presentation is everything. I always taught my son that when you go, I want you to dress so when you go in the store, there's two black persons, there's no doubt in their mind that they better choose the right one, because your presentation is everything. How you dress, it dictates to who you are. We got to pull up our pants and put a belt on. I'm tired of looking at your crack in the back. You know, and you walking and switching like a chick.
because your pants is all the way down to your knees, and that's the way you got to walk in order to keep your pants up. This is ridiculous. And then stop marking yourself all up. You know, if you're gonna get the ink and the whole bit, do it in a way that when you go look for a job, you ain't showing it all on your neck and all on your face, and that's just a turn me off. So we got to help ourselves too a lot, and that's where we can start teaching our kids that presentation is everything, who you are and what you stand for, and when you yourself.
Yeah, it is crazy that we have, you know, we can be our own worst enemies sometimes, Andre, and we have to think about what's in our best interest as well as be prepared to put ourselves out there and be willing to make some sacrifices.
You're absolutely right. And my sister Joy said it very well, with passion, commitment, and facts. So you're exactly right. We have to do a better job within ourselves. I always say the importance of all communicating with each other. We discuss, you know, scenarios. What would you do in these particular positions? We know that we're at a disadvantage, but we may be down, but we're not out. But we have to be smart and continue to push forward. And I surely hope that this is our time. And if it's not for us, our next generation. But we have to make sure that we have prepared and equipped them. And that's my view.
Yeah, and what seems to be obvious to me is that we have to engage in taking advantage of the things that we can take advantage of. You know, there are too many of us now that have money and have the ability to mobilize. But we're not thinking about that. We're too caught up being selfish to think about what's in the best interest of all of us. And so if we started thinking about our race as a whole and used our abilities to make things better, then we could flex our muscles. Is there a rich person who will step up? When a rich black person will step up, or a group of rich black people will step up and say that was outrageous, and we're going to put our money together and put some attorneys together to right this wrong. But we ought to have an organization that goes around who sees where African Americans have been mistreated and abused, and that are willing to put their monies up to help that person get a decent lawyer to fight something that we know is wrong. Because too many times we get put in jail for stupid stuff, and it's either the charges are dropped, or we might spend 10 or 15 days or 20 days or 30 days in jail for something that was wrong. Okay, let's take a break, and we'll come right back and continue our conversation.
James C. Deshay. There is never a perfect time to step out on faith. It will always require risking the safety of where you are at the moment. But one will never be completely happy when their dreams are not being reached. The higher the dreams, the greater the risk. When the right opportunity makes itself available, you have to choose to close your ears to naysayers and move forward beyond your fears. Please visit WealthDadSystems.com. That's WealthDadSystems.com. WealthDadSystems.com. I look forward to talking to you soon. Remember, there are a lot of people waiting for their ship to come in. It might require us to swim out to meet it.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I want to share a story with you guys about a guy who went to school with me at South Carolina State. And actually, this was a story that made it all the way to 60 Minutes. But I'm sure we have these same things happening right now. But one of my classmates went to work for a company in Texas called East, and he worked for this company, and he was an engineer. And on his lunch breaks, he would go out to a park that was near the job site and feed the ducks. And so there was a white female, an older white female, who spotted him and just became intrigued by the fact that he would go out there and feed these ducks, and she wasn't used to him. So when some break-ins at local restaurants happened, for some reason, this man's name got thrown into the mix. Now, this is a man who left college, went to a new job, making quite a bit of money, a lot more money than the normal person makes. And they wanted to suggest on his lunchtime he would go rob Kentucky Fried Chicken and Taco Bell. Now, even though his coworkers told him that he was at work, they were willing to believe the worst of this man, and he was in jail for over a year because he refused to plea deal with these people. And so it wasn't until 60 Minutes got reached by the NAACP that they finally found a way to help this man get out of this situation. But instead of them evaluating, looking at just the surface and saying to themselves, this don't make no sense. Why would an engineer go to a fast food restaurant and rob a restaurant during his lunchtime when he makes a sizable amount of money? They didn't find no fingerprints. They didn't find no weapon. They didn't find no mask. They found nothing of substance. But just because somebody spotted him in a place they thought he was not supposed to be, they were willing to believe that he was a robber. And until the spotlight was put on that situation, he was not released from jail. And even after being released, the chief of police and the attorney wanted to believe that he was still guilty. They fabricated evidence. They called his local town and asked, was he involved in anything in his local town? The police officer lied and said, the sheriff said that, yeah, he was a suspect in many different things. And then the sheriff that he called came out and said, I didn't tell him that. And that's the thing about them. They're willing to lie on us to convict us, but yet we don't have the resources to get our people out when they're being mistreated in the justice system. And at some point, we need to recognize that we need to create our own organizations that are willing to take good lawyers and look into some of these cases that we're being mistreated in. Cheryl, what are your thoughts about that? How, you know, even our professionals get caught up in foolishness where they try to get us involved in the justice system, and there's no reason, and they will lie, cheat, and steal to get us convicted.
I guess I'm just, when it comes to that, is that I don't want to say I'm just getting so used to it, but it is so true. You know, every time we try to believe in someone, but, you know, whatever we're doing, we got to work harder. Because if we come together, we are powerful. And that's our problem. We don't want to come together, and we don't want to work on the issues. We want to leave it to somebody else to do it. And I find that, you know, and if we don't do it ourselves, and if we don't follow through with it ourselves, then it's harder and harder for us to overcome. Because with a few, we're not going to make it. So we got to come together, and we got to start doing things with our best interests at heart. Tired. We got to put in the hours. We got to put in the time because, you know, we're looking at our future. And for some of the children today, if they had to run things, we definitely would be in bad shape. And again, I say some, because we have some that's graduating with high honors and everything. But, you know, we got enough of us to come together. We got enough of us to take a stand. But we got to do it. And we're losing so many of us by the wayside. We're losing them to drugs. We're losing them to the streets. We're losing them because we don't have fathers being fathers. We're losing them, you know, for various different reasons. But we have to pick up the slack in so many different areas. And that's why I'm so glad, you know, with this platform, because it has helped me to realize that no matter what I was doing, I still can do more. And I find that my schedule is getting more and more full because I'm putting myself out there. Now I'm, you know, although I thought I was making a difference, now I find myself even more doing more and wanting to do more, and also, you know, pulling other people's in to help as far as doing that. But we all have to do our part, no matter how small it is. We can be slack and we can't get tired.
Dee, what is your thoughts? I mean, it is so frustrating to see the potential that we're losing to our justice system because of the mistreatment of people of color.
James, I like the observation that you said about an hour ago about how justice seems to peek under the mask, under the blindfold to see what color you are before it starts to serve in your favor. And along those lines, I think that Johnny Cochran said it best. And he said that the color of justice is green. And I think that when people of color get ourselves in these situations, we don't have the financial resources to obtain the best legal counsel. And if we did, if we had the monetary resources, that still doesn't mean that justice is going to lean in our favor in the way of fairness, because we have to understand that the counsel works for a firm. And the firm, a lot of times, are friends with the prosecutors and friends with the judges. They play golf together. They have lunch together. And so if the said counsel that I'm speaking of is a person of color, if he wants to keep his job in some cases, then he has to be sometimes incompetent in doing the right thing. But I want to touch on something that Brother Tyrone mentioned. And that is, I think that we have a fundamental core situation. And that fundamental core situation, I think that we have a conflict in our belief systems when it comes to us and our counterpart, as Ms. Audrey puts it. Here's my point. And I've been trying to make this point for a long time and still haven't got the answers that I'm looking for. You know, these judges, the prosecutors, the defense attorneys, the police officers, they all have families. And on Sunday, they go to church. All of them do. On Sunday through Monday, they are professed Christians. And so are we. Problem is, when it comes down to these judgments, it seems to me that there's a conflict that, and a disbelief that we have the same interest, which is Christianity. It makes me think that they are invested in some other belief system, and I'm perplexed on what that belief system is, because it can't be Christianity, not as we know it, because there's no forgiveness there. There's no fairness there. So my point and my question has been here lately, especially this year, what's the difference between the Christianity that they confess to be and ours? Because to me, there's a severe conflict. All right. One last thing. When Brother Tyrone mentioned that it's our time, And they know it. Again, it's our time, and they know it. Well, the only problem with that is they got a white boy with the codes to the football. And we know how crazy people do. If they can't have it, they'll take it all with them. So that's my point, James. Thank you.
Audrey, your thoughts about, you have competed in their arena for a long time, and you've been successful at it. But how often is African Americans and people of color given a raw deal in that environment?
Oh, my goodness. Before I go to that, response. Let me back up a little bit and follow up on what Dee said. Earlier this week, I heard a commentary, and it was about, what is his name, Kaepernickel or something like that, the one guy that
right.
qualified to be a quarterback. Okay. And so the owners are asking people for prayer. Now, I think this is Baltimore Ravens, and if I'm not mistaken, I don't follow it all the time, but I believe the Ravens have had a lot of issues with people being in jail for a lot of different reasons and never have the owner come forth and ask for prayer. You know, so the commentator was stating that he wondered which God it is that he's going to be praying for. Is it the God of Trump or is it the God of love and equality for, you know, transgender people and people of color and that type of thing? Is it the one for Trump who's trying to, you know, block people from coming in, or is it the one that the God that says, you know, we should love our neighbors? And he just went on down the line. So you're right, Dee. We all go to worship, and people have been worshiping all the time. And if you remember, back in slavery time, they used scripture out of content and indicating that, you know, blacks should obey their masters and we should do so, you know, happily. And even though we mistreated and all, that was scriptural. And of course, we know that that's out of context. So just because you go and worship, it don't mean that you're worshiping the same God and you have the same belief. It's not apples to apples. And that's unfortunate. Now, James, when it comes to survival in the corporate world, as we know it, I have to give credit to my father and my family. You have to remember, being born and raised in Mississippi, my daddy taught us what to say, when to say, and even if to say it. If you would, he was teaching a strategy, and we don't even know it. And Joyce may be able to articulate it a little better than I, but, you know, we learned a lot of life skills coming up as a black family in Mississippi. We're a black family that had Catholics in our family, and that's just unheard of. You know, my dad demonstrated and was brave enough to have a golf tournament on a public golf course. And while we would think that's an easy task, in Mississippi, it was not. So we learned how to maneuver. And that's the reason why, you know, sometimes I say the importance of talking to our next generation, because there's so many things that they don't realize that life is a game. And you have to make sure that you're strategically taking steps that you're going to stay ahead, not only for yourself, because we're not blessed for ourselves, we're blessed for others so that we can bless others. But, you know, if you go in thinking that you can look a certain way and act a certain way, and that person on the other side of that table come from a certain generation, fair or not, you need to be able to articulate and represent yourself where you can give yourself half of a chance to be there. So I think you asked yourself the question of how significant does this occur even now. And it's at an alarming rate, absolutely. And that's the reason why we have to teach each other and help each other along the way.
All right, we're going to go to our final break, and we're going to come back and allow everyone to make their last statement.
It's all right with me.
safeguard your dreams by committing to a system that will allow you to obtain your financial freedom. Go to WealthDadSystems.com. That's WealthDadSystems.com, WealthDadSystems.com. Also call 407-459-4827 so that you can get the information that will allow you to be financially free. I want to go back to everybody and get your final thought for this evening. Tyrone, what's your final thought for this evening?
Well, it seems like we got so many problems. But I think about when we like I was talking about Jews earlier. They're not gonna kill any Jewish kids or anything like that because they have money, they have power. We as African Americans, we have over $1 trillion we collectively put it together. We are larger than the 10th largest country in the world. If we could ever come together, and that's going to seem like it's going to be highly impossible. Given to, if you have not read that Jimmy Lynch letter, you need to go and look at it or go and read it so you can begin to understand the indoctrination, what has been happening since the 1700s, how they pitted us against each other. But if we ever came together, a couple of things that we can do. First of all, we need to go back to boycott. Because when you boycott white folks' businesses and all the things that they're doing, I promise you, you would get their attention. Because you start hurting their pockets, you get their attention. White folks need lots of money, and they will change things when you start letting them know or showing them that you don't play. And somehow, some way, we have to come together. If we could pool our resources together, I was reading the other day, how is it that all these different nationalities, when they come to America, they come looking for the black community? Because we're fat. We're powerful with money. How is it that they study our buying habits, how to treat us in terms of spending money? Now, I know I was in New Orleans and I saw this, I don't know, Arab or whatever, just talk to our people any kind of way. And our people accept it. You know, it's like white folks got superiority complexes. We have inferiority complexes. They have done a job on us so long that we somehow have to be re-educated. Because there's what they call a miseducation of the Negro, of black people. And so we just have to find a way to come together. If we can come together with our money, money is power. I don't care what nobody say, money is power. And money talks.
Joyce, what is your final thought for this evening?
I would like to agree with the caller. I would also say that, okay, we know what we need to do. Where can we start? A good place to start possibly here with us. You said pooling. We need to, I think you're in the financial, hopefully, what is the possibility of you presenting something to our group so we can start small and grow from there. You know, I'm willing to be a part of, and I think everybody on the line is possibly willing to be a part of, so it can be a good start. We definitely need to start investing in our own. So we need someone who is educated, informed, to kind of lead the way. Thank you.
All right. Carol, what is your final thought for this evening?
I'm going to have to agree with everybody. You know, we have to start coming together in order to be able to make things happen. And we got to be willing to be taught how to do it because a lot of people don't know what to do. So many want to do something but don't know what to do. So if we can be taught and just put some action behind those things that we need to do.
Okay. Kathy, your final thought for this evening?
I concur with everybody on here. Great conversation, great show, we need to talk about this a little bit more so that we can come together and make these forms start happening. And then my scripture for today is Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is of utmost importance. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all your effort, work to acquire understanding. Thank you, James.
All right. Audrey, your final thought for this evening?
And I'm going to follow up with Kathy and just go to Proverbs. We're going to lean not on our own understanding, but we're going to trust the Lord. And we know that we are more than conquerors, and we have overcome. I do like the action item that Joy suggested, and maybe Mr. Tillis can assist us in combining our small our revenue. And we may start small, but I'm sure we will develop and profit such that we can, again, just start investing in ourselves and go from there. But let us be reminded that we are more than conquerors. It may look dim, but let's not trust what we see, but let us continue to put our faith and trust in the Lord.
All
with
right.
Action.
Okay. Dee, your final thought for this evening?
Yes, sir. I promise to be short. I want to piggyback on something that Pastor Smith said yesterday. He was alluding to the fact that we need to start back investing in the ranks that's already on our side, and that's ourselves and our young people. Yes, they have three, and we all have, but I think that if we were to go back and invest in them and enlightening them and educating them to what it is that we need to be doing and what we're trying to do, I think that that's a good place to start also. So just start back obtaining the interest of our young folk and getting them back on track on what it is that they're supposed to be doing, and I think that would be a good investment for us also. Thank you.
All right. Again, as always, I want to thank you guys for your continued support. I appreciate you always being there with me and helping me with this show and doing what it is this show was called to do. And thank you so much, and I'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. It's Saturday, so the weekend. So we'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 o'clock West Coast Time. And again, those of you who are reaching for your dreams and want to increase your quality of life, please call 407-459-4827 and be prepared to hear something that could change your life in a mighty way. I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow at 8 p.m. West Coast time at 657-383-0309, where your voice can be heard loud and clear. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Take care.
Drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song. defiled.